Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I'm still
talented Shelly and Chai. Come back out, we miss you, from the Faroe Islands. But she, of course, was not alone there because she was singing the words of the only Jay Hatter. Well, hello, Jay Hatter. How are you this fine evening?
I'm doing fine.
Excellent.
Better day by day.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. Very, very good. And, of course, we don't just have Hatter, we have the person who is responsible for the Greater Team of Voices empire on allpoetry.com. So if you won't follow us along and work out what we're doing and what we're up to and see all of that, then come and join us, knock on the door at the Team of Voices, allpoetry.com, and you will find the one and only Deborah Lee. Hi, Deb, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am well.
She's
good. I am well. Thank you.
Good night.
So, you might be asking, what is this about? What are we doing? Well, we are on air in the greater confines of the world, and we talk about things generally in this show and oftentimes come up with ways that they might be different. We do that through the stage of poetry occasionally, and we have themes. Now, I'm very proud to announce that today's theme. Sorry, Hannah, what was up?
We fixed that problem in the Suez Canal, didn't we?
Don't know how to do it.
Well, we did. Well, we did.
Yeah, we knew we were coming.
We did. And we didn't even have to tip the boat on its side, which was my favorite approach.
That's right. Getting 48 hours, and we'll get over there, and they say, rather deal with it than us.
However, you do realize, Hatter, that that vessel is yet to get clear of the Suez Canal. You realize that?
They didn't
because
ask us for that.
No, that's true. But you realize that the Suez Canal Authority has actually seized that ship.
Yeah.
Because there is now a significant argument and discussion about who is going to pay, you see. And so, and how much they're going
so
to pay. And
it
is very, very complicated.
It's got to be so complicated. It's got to be so complicated that the only thing you can do is seize it that you have in your possession. Because if you let it go, it'll be so complicated in court, some international court, nobody's going to get paid for it. Somebody's got to be the direct. Yeah, somebody's got to be the direct liability, and then he's got to go back and sue everybody else.
Yep.
I think that's where they're
going to
pull it out.
We have basically saying that you owe us $900 million, roughly, give or take. And
is that what we're going to bill them?
$900 million.
We're going to send our bill.
$300 million reputation damage, $300 million for something else, and there's a separate bill for releasing it from the canal that the salvage company's going to hand over as well. So,
now they're all insured from Lloyd's, aren't they insured from Lloyd's in London? All those big ships?
There's different insurers, Hatter. I think you'll find this one's not insured by Lloyd's. It's insured by a private firm who is negotiating how much it's going to pay. So everything comes down to negotiation, but at the minute, the vessel is still in Egypt and it's seized, awaiting payment of the fees.
They need to have a big garage sale.
They've got a lot of containers, Hatter. It'd be a decent sized garage sale.
Yeah,
you know, it's like storage lockers, except it'd be on a massive scale. There's 20,000 of them. You know, what do? You put them down on the sand. Okay, guys.
Can you imagine?
Do I bid 20 for that container? Do I bid 40? Do I bid 60? Do I bid 80? I'm ready. The way it goes.
So I'm sight unseen to the top, to the highest bidder internationally. We send you this damn thing.
Mm-hmm.
We won't look at it. We don't look at it.
Yep.
Good luck.
There you go. Sorry.
So what are we going to build? We got to send in our bill.
Sorry, Hatter?
Maybe we got to send them our bill. Maybe we can get paid.
Well, that's true. That's true. We haven't done that yet. We had some decent thinking, Hatter. We deserve something for that. So anyway,
you know, it got to a crisis level. We had to step in. It got to a crisis level. We had to step in.
We did.
Yeah.
Yep. It's like the think tank is like an international thing, Hatter. You know.
That's right.
It's an international tool that's there to help and assist those people who don't even know they need help and assistance sometimes, but it's there.
Didn't they, within 24 hours of our show, tell them how to do it? Didn't they have it done? At least 48 hours.
Hi,
Deb.
Hi, Hatter.
We're not doing the ship today, Hatter. Explains as that sounds. We are looking at two very important features. One is a volcano. There's a rich vein of volcanic writing out there, I'm sure, Hal, but volcano, number one. And number two, a subject often overlooked, I have far too little airtime, which is the subject of drop bears. So we're going to do volcanoes first, and then we're going to come to drop bears, because they're quite a specific individual item to Australia, and I want to make sure that we keep the subject of drop bears due time.
Why do they call them drop bears, JP?
Well, see, Hatter, if you go camping in Australia and you put yourself out in the tent and you listen to koalas, remember, koalas, quite a lot of koalas out there, just quietly, a couple of million of the buggers. So if you're camping, there's a decent chance that you'll have koalas somewhere near you. Yeah? And they bellow.
Yeah.
And they sound, for all instances, as if they're going to rip you apart. Right? This bellow is huge and deep and booms. Yeah?
Yeah.
So it sounds evil and nasty and vicious. And it booms all around you because you've got males all over the body place. You've got these booming sounds going on. And so you wouldn't think they come out of a koala's mouth. And so we as Australians, being who we are, said, well, okay, we'll just invent something that sounds more like them. And we'll call them drop.
Yeah, I think I was amazed by the surgeon and what a koala sounds like. It sounds medieval.
You got that coming at you from six or eight different directions. I need to tell you. You think you're about to be ripped apart by... Well, the thinking was that if you gave them big teeth and big, decent coarse ones, they didn't big teeth, latch onto your back. It's like drop from the tree, you see.
Oh, okay.
That was zinky. Anyway. So, volcanoes, drop bears, two logical subjects that probably should have been put together before. But, again, thanks to the wonders of the think tank, they have been missed out for now. Sorry, Hatter.
Either one can mess up the day.
I'm surprised the two subjects haven't come together before, but they are now, and so that sort of problem that history has been solved. We now have the two things together. So for the show, and I was thinking to myself, which country is sufficiently quirky that enable them to sort of set the scene for the rest of the show? And I thought to myself, I know what we'll do. We will go to one of my favourite countries for quirkiness, the country that has been successfully ruled by the pirate party, the country that has gone and how dead. The country that has this remarkable set of surnames, but they've only got about 80 of them. So I went straight to Iceland, as you do, Iceland is Iceland. And what happened in Iceland 2 weeks ago, Hatter, is that they got a new volcano.
Yeah.
It just appeared. Yeah, it just appeared. Literally... It just appeared 25 miles from their capital, Reykjavik. Yeah, on the same peninsula, just down the road, just around the corner. And so this is the reaction of my friends in Iceland to the new volcano. It's called, from the Food and Wine magazine, because that's where the image that's sitting in front of you is from. It's from the Iceland Food and Wine magazine, of course. And it goes a little bit like this. Now, for most, it would be troubling if around the next suburb real near, and a mountain with lava bubbling did one day just suddenly appear. Here would be the alerts and alarms. Rock and possible lava flow, be careful on route near Ivor's farm. Radio traffic reports would say so. If down in Iceland around the way, exactly the same thing but not a reaction. Instead a path was carved by day so trampers could see all the action. Families, they came upon thousands to cook dogs or marshmallows fast. On the magma hot steel toned sands, fast food heated by all the lava cast. Others flew in their drones so close that they burned as left consumed. A few seconds, the owner was morose, as their flying objects soon doomed. Though all does worry me somewhat, volcanoes deserve respect in folklore. Cooking and dive bombing lava so hot, you wonder what's being held in store. End comp.
Let's spend the day looking at the volcano. And I'll wait for the, I'll wait for the movie.
New volcano. There it is. Right in front of us. And conveniently, off the Food and Wine magazine of Iceland, of course. Deb. Deb. What did you think? A little misty.
I think that the third stanza was my favorite because I'm picturing them standing there roasting marshmallows and making s'mores and stuff. I know that even in Hawaii when they erupt, they have, quote, safe ways of approaching it so that you can see it in person. But I'm sorry, the way I understand it, the volcano also has the ability to just, like, throw a lava baseball at you, and it would go right through you. So
yes.
I don't know if I would buy the safe distance kind of thing. And that's what I was thinking of, you know, instead of a path was carved that day so trampers could see all the action. I think that it's really cool to see things for the first time, and nothing's
mm-hmm.
better than seeing it with your own two eyes. But if there's a risk that a beyond hot flaming ball from hell can cut me in half and kill me while I'm standing there, doesn't sound too appealing.
Yep.
But it's a very cool part. Great visuals.
Had I, what's your view on this, the Icelandic folk wandering their way up to a volcano?
You know, I would have second thoughts of going up to see. I don't need to be that close to that. I don't need to see that firsthand, you know. The images of the volcano that erupted the other day, down in Saint John. Anyway, those pictures of that cloud was terrifying because that dude is standing right underneath it. He's looking directly up. Those vertical eruption, those clouds are going straight up, which means he's going to be covered in ash within minutes and everything around him. I thought that was terrifying to see it that close. So, volcano sitting. I think good about volcanoes is it leaves jewels around them millions of years later.
Well, Heather, I have a story. I have a story because right on this very topic, I have a story. In New Zealand, off the coast of New Zealand, about a couple of hundred miles from Auckland, is an island. An island. And It's owned by the local Maori people, and you can actually get a boat out to the island to have a look around the island, and it's called White Island, and it is a reasonably active volcano. Okay, so it is just sitting there as an island, but it is definitely a decent active volcano.
Yeah. Okay.
And so, you know, as a you know, my brother, for example, a year or so ago, it would have been 2 years ago, went to this particular place and did the tour. So there's the island there, and it's got a sort of bubbling crater in the middle, and it's got sulfur, and it's got boiling hot mud and all that stuff. You could wander around Y Island, and that was sort of funky and sort of very sort of New Zealandish, because it was right on the sort of edge, and you know there's a little bit of danger to it, Hatter. Yeah. So.
Okay.
Then. About a year ago, a whole heap of people were on the island, and there was a volcano, mm-hmm. and lo and behold, there was a volcanic eruption.
Yeah,
and
I watched that. Those real life videos.
Yeah, 20-odd people were killed. Because you know you're on an island and you know, you it expired. There's not a lot of places to go, you know.
A couple of the tour guides or the captains, they knew by the color of the eruption, they knew it was bad right off the from the get go. This is not good. This is the hell out of here. Yeah, 8 people were killed instantly from the eruption, and then 20 on the island. Wow, that's funny. I was watching those videos just yesterday.
Yeah, right.
Frightening.
And those people that did survive were left with horrible burns that took.
Yeah.
You know.
Sure. Can you imagine?
Months of hospital treatment. To you know, to get better again. It was just horrible.
Oh, God.
Horrible. And now, of course, that's all gone, you can't go back to White Island anymore. And go bigger, probably a good thing, Hatter, because at the end of the day, it's a bloody volcano. And, you know, they're dangerous things. You know, so, you know, not being able to go out there and walk on them and toast marshmallows on them is probably not a bad thing, you know? Just leave the sucker alone.
Yeah.
It's hot. It's nasty.
Take the hammer and whack the small nuclear device.
Just leave the thing alone. Just give it some space, you know. And that's why I was worried when I saw the Icelandic sort of, you know, toast the marshmallows, get the wieners out, you know, and let's go make a family trip of it. Because at the end of the day, if there's a volcano there, go figure, but it's reasonably unstable, Hatter. You know, there's that stuff belongs in the center of the earth, you know.
There was absolutely no warning that thing was going to blow. They had no
rumbling. Zero. Absolutely zero. Yeah. It just did. Because that's what they do.
Yeah.
They're volcanoes.
Yeah.
They just, you know.
Yeah.
They
as far as volcanoes go, that was a small little burp.
Oh, no, it was only tiny. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no. This was only a little baby. But, you know, this was not a big, you know, volcano by any stretch of the imagination. So, you know, I think it's true to say that if there is a volcano there, it's probably sensible to give it a wide berth, all things being equal.
Probably plenty of pictures of it.
Yeah, well, Deb put a whole heap of pictures on the board, you know, which would indicate that being somewhere close to one of these volcanoes is probably not brilliantly, excitingly clever. Even if you're wearing green and orange fluoro sportwear, Deb.
Oh, man.
The safety gear, you think it'll help?
Not short sleeves, no. No, I don't think so, sadly. So, anyway.
Wow.
That
one of the mountains on fire. Just incredible. That one picture of the lava coming down that side of the whole side of the mountain. Oh, man.
The one above AP's poem and the one beneath his poem are both from Iceland. That's why I was freaking out when I got to his author's notes and it said that he had a comment there about Iceland. I had downloaded a bunch of pictures this afternoon and a couple. Do you see AP's poem? One above it and one below it. That's Iceland.
Mm.
That was like, what, days ago?
Yeah.
Okay, I've got one.
They almost look like they're
and
alive.
And this is a badass picture.
But the one that's further down.
That's funky.
Where it's just it's further away and it's got the whole mountain on fire with the lava flow.
Yes.
It doesn't.
Yes.
Does that say where that one was? I've never seen that picture before. That was just incredible.
That looks like an Indonesian volcano.
I was going to say, Iceland, New Zealand, Hawaii, and
Hawaii doesn't usually flow like that.
Not
from that structure. Hawaii's flow like that, but not from a mountain. It's usually big. That one looks like a good-sized mountain on fire. Yeah.
So, Hatter,
Great
the New Zealand church. Volcanoes.
Yes.
The New Zealand volcanoes are really interesting, and they're still quite active. They're every couple of years, once a New Zealand volcano blows its top. And I was in New Zealand when the biggest volcano there, Mount Ruapehu, decided to blow its top. And so.
Yeah.
I thought, well, let's go and have a look. That's randomly of me. And so I drove 250 miles up the north to see Mount Ruapehu. I got there only to find that there was this mist covering everything down to a height of about 200 metres and you couldn't see a thing. I couldn't even see the bloody mountain. It was erupting, but somewhere above the mist. Anyway, that was a waste of time. But New Zealand actually does have some beautiful mountains and volcanic mountains. Classic. And most of the ones that are still active are in the centre of the island. I'll get the pronunciations wrong, but New Zealanders, forgive me. There's Mount Ruapehu. Yep. There is Mount Naharahoe, and there's one more. It might be Mount Tongariro. There's three in a row that are still active in the centre of the island. And then, but the my favourite mountain in New Zealand in terms of volcano is the perfect sort of circular classic volcano, yeah. So, and that is Mount Taranaki, because it's such a beautiful looking thing. Oh, hello. There seems to be somebody at the door. Hello, Lady A. How are you?
Hi. How are you? I'm good, thanks. How are you?
We're talking volcanoes. We are specifically talking New Zealand volcanoes at the minute, as we talk, because Australia has a very, very, you know, average set of volcanic things, so we can't really talk about Australia much. I'll talk about it in a bit. We can't really talk about Australia much because it really doesn't have anything that looks like the volcano I just put on the board. If I can update and refresh that. That is a volcano. That is a decent mountain. That is Mount Taranaki in New Zealand. That's what you call a mountain. Yes, Taranaki.
Those active volcanoes in New Zealand, are they part of the continent? Are they islands? Are any of them island volcanoes?
Well, New Zealand, of course, is a very new and young continent, Pata. And so New Zealand is formed at the intersection of two plates. And basically the volcanoes lie on those intersections of the two plates.
Okay. So they're mainland.
They're mainland. Australia, on the other hand, is an old country. You know, it's like the old Pangaea from all those years ago. And so Australia, the mainland of Australia, I'll be very specific here, the mainland of Australia does not have any volcanoes active. This happened to be the first time I've actually said something where Australia is safer than anywhere else. Australia does not have any active volcanoes on the mainland. Now, the reason I say the mainland is because Australia does have two active volcanoes, but they're in the Australian Antarctic Territory. One is Mount Heard, and the other is on Heard Island, sorry. The other is on Macquarie Island. They're both down next to the Antarctica. So Australia does have two active volcanoes, but they're part of its Antarctic territories.
Oh, okay. So what's the closest one north in Indonesia? Active on there, a couple in there.
The closest one is in Papua New Guinea. So Papua New Guinea is only about half an hour north of Australia.
I just wonder how many kingdoms or countries are make up Indonesia?
Islands or archipelagos. About 70-odd. Yeah, about 70-odd.
Okay.
But you've got to go past Papua New Guinea to get to Indonesia, and Papua New Guinea has volcanoes. And it's closer to Australia than New Zealand. So the closest active volcano to Australia, to the Australian mainland, is on Papua New Guinea. However, Australia did have active volcanoes back around about 2500 BC. So if we've been back with the Aboriginal folk, the last eruption in Australia was in South Australia, around southeast Cambria, in 2500 BC. There you go.
What's the difference between Indonesia and Micronesia?
Indonesia is much, much bigger. Indonesia is huge. Okay. Indonesia is a country about 2 billion people. Huge country, huge Muslim country.
Okay.
Made up of a whole heap of archipelagos. Micronesia is relatively tiny. It's got about 20, 30 islands. It's sort of north of New Zealand, it would have 100,000 people max. Yeah, so it's tiny place. Micronesia is to the north of New Zealand. Indonesia to the north of Australia, but Indonesia is a significant country and huge country of its own accord.
Yeah, they got some wicked landscapes in New Zealand. Only equaled by like Thailand and China. The only other places I've seen some of those cliff faces and those offshore structures. Just
yeah, it's why The Lord of the Rings was filmed there, Hatter. That's a brilliant sort of land and mountains and stuff. Yeah.
Oh, that looks prehistoric. This looks prehistoric.
So,
you guys are walking in?
Hello, Lady A.
Hi.
I'm just
listening.
You should go to New Zealand. You should go to New Zealand just to see the natural mountains and rivers and streams and stuff. I mean, New Zealanders are fun. You know, don't get me wrong. They are. But their country is something else. You know, it really is just brilliant. And, you can't help but fall in love with some of the scenery. And, things like, those mountains, which are the remarkables. And then they find strange, weird, wonderful ways to make those dangerous, whether it's tramping or going down them in a Zorb ball or going jet boating or whatever it might be. And the one thing that we do know is that you actually don't want to sit next to me when you're in a jet boat.
Why is that?
Why? Well,
probably because he can't take Dramamine.
No. My ex was brave enough to sit next to me in the jet boat, and she got in the boat in one piece and got out of it with a broken finger.
Oh, a boat.
A boat. And a broken finger. And she wasn't very happy about it. Funny that, Hatter. You know,
no,
I mean, I
can
help my knee moving. No, but
I'm traveling
and I do circles and 360-degree turns, and my knee sort of moved and crushed her finger, as you do.
Oh.
So I wasn't, I wasn't in the good books, Hatter.
Wow.
I'm just saying. So, if
you don't like the boots.
They're
like boots.
They're fast, and they move violently, and they do 360-degree circles and all that stuff. And so, if you're into sort of adventure sort of stuff, they're really cool. Right. All I'm saying is that just don't go on them with me. Or sit next to. That's all. That's all I'm suggesting.
So I suppose you like the teacups at the fair.
Yeah, no, well, it's a bit like that. Sweet. I was just saying.
Hello.
Don't sit next to me in a jet boat. How are you?
I'm good. Don't sit next to me in a jet boat.
Really?
How's that? Yes.
Well, I mean, we can both decide that we don't sit next to each other in a jet boat. I think that's fair enough.
I get a little wild. I like the speed. I like the wind in my hair. I kind of scream loud. So, I always want to drive.
I knew you were a screamer.
I am.
Did you hear, though, that I did break my ex's finger in the jet boat?
Well, that's better than kind of throwing people out of the boat because you kind of swing a little too wide left.
Well, that's exactly right. So they're lovely looking boats, and they do go very fast, and they do circles, and yes, so there you go.
Hang on. Well,
exactly.
Actually, maybe you should sit next to me because then you won't fly off.
Well, that's true. There is something about that in what you say. And because New Zealanders do find new and different and dangerous ways to utilise everything that they've got. And
now that's not
my favourite story about New Zealand, sorry, is that they do paintball. And you might say, everybody does paintball. Yeah? But what's so special about paintball in New Zealand? Yeah? I'm here to tell you, in New Zealand, they have a paintball tank. And that is a tank that is set up with a machine gun that fires paintballs.
Oh,
now,
my. That does not sound. No. That does not sound.
No.
Oh, no, that doesn't sound fun at all.
Paintball machine gun. No. No.
Yeah, I've seen
you
that.
To move quickly. Whoa. Anyway, there you go.
Oh, no.
A sniper rifle.
No, no.
No, I'm just something wrong about a paintball machine gun tank. Anyway, they exist in New Zealand, nowhere else, but they do exist in New Zealand. So, anyway, that's so sweet. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I got the zombie shot this afternoon. I'm a little tired. Got a bit of a headache.
Oh, well done you. Now, we've actually got somebody else. We've got, this is ridiculous. We've got a full house. It's Sky. Sky.
Hi.
How are you, Scott?
Good. What
amazing.
A coincidence. Sweet. I took my mom to get the zombie shot today, too.
Yes.
Aha. Well, everybody's getting them. Well, that is if you're in the United States. If you're in Australia, good luck. We've got no shots. But, you know, in the U.S., happening. You know, it's going really well, you know. But in Australia, we'll just get our borders shut. Nobody can go in. Nobody can go out. And we can't get the bloody shot. Apart from that, it's really good. It's a nice place. We'll talk about drop bears later. But it's a nice place. It has no volcanoes. Well, not on the mainstream anyway. Not until you go down to Antarctica. Then it has volcanoes. So, you know, it's all relative. So, that's the one good thing we've found about Australia so far, sweet. And there is a plethora of dangerous things, but it doesn't have volcanoes.
Oh, well, that's because the snakes just probably piled on top of it one day and crushed whatever it was, and there are no more
that's
volcanoes.
It
just
Well, you know, that's why
I mean,
I love New Hampshire, because there's nothing around here, but the worst thing we have is ice storms. Like, we'll get locked in our cars or our houses from ice storms or buried in snow, but we don't have anything else. I mean, we've got black widows and brown recluses. We've got a couple of spiders, but nothing, not really, you know. Like, New Hampshire is pretty good. Just stay in New Hampshire. We don't have anything here except
We have black widows. Sweet. We have black widows, but they're colored red. And so we call them redbacks because they're dangerously sort of quite evil, really. And do you know, you wouldn't have to know this, but I actually wrote a poem about redbacks this month. And I'm inclined to put it on the board because it sort of fits. Sort of. And I never thought it would, but it does. And, you know, logically, this was written to a prompt called The Red Bucket, which I know makes a lot of sense.
Hold on,
we've
got a typer.
You know,
yeah, I was going to say, before you read, whoever is typing, mute, please.
Mute the typing. Okay. So we're going to do this one. Then we'll do our together poem, Hatter and I's sort of together poem after this, which is called Red Bucket. Goes a little bit like this. It was the most intricate of constructions, made from wood. A tiny inkwell, which was shaped as a piano. Seemed it was a piece made by the apprentice years ago. And to the collectors, clearly it has some significant value. With so taken, I began thinking I might keep it. The lid open like a regular piano on a fine pole. Pried open. Immediately, I saw the error of my ways. As scores of small venomous spiders started leaping out. Vivid redbacks. Australian black widow spiders. I yelled, and instinctively threw the inkwell into the air. It landed with a splash in a metal container filled with water. That steel object known evermore as the Red Bucket. End poem.
Wow, I feel like that was real.
That was a true story. That was a very true story. I have very fast reflexes, and I'm telling you, I threw that thing a long way. The minute that I opened that case and the spiders started coming out of me in the dozens, dozens of the bloody things started coming at me. So I threw it a long way. Underarm, not an overarm, underarm. And it landed in the water, which was a fairly clever access, because otherwise it would have split into 25 pieces. And then there would have been spiders all over the frigging place. But as it happened, they all got caught in the bucket. Now, yeah, the collaboration, I think.
Okay, I can do that. Yeah, I'm going to grab it. I love the picture of that thing there, too, the little piece of wood. Is that a desk
or
something?
A piano. It's a piano, a little inkwell piano.
Yeah.
Oh,
an upright piano.
Or it was.
This one was a grand piano. It was a grand piano. It wasn't an upright piano. The one that had the spiders in it was an upright piano. I remember exactly what it looks like, but I can still remember the bloody spiders. So, anyway.
That walnut or teak? Walnut?
Sky's going to be on a trampoline tomorrow. How about
walnut.
That?
That's fun.
Yeah, I've been on the phone since 8, and I've got a 6-year-old.
Wow.
Passed out now in here that I gotta wake up. But I miss you guys and I wanted to say hi.
Hi, Sky.
Glad you called.
I've been MIA.
Me too.
You got to hear about Black Widow spiders, Sky. That was good.
I did. I just wanted to say hi and I miss y'all and I'll be back soon.
Cool.
I think.
Cool.
Come
yeah,
to
have
my
you back.
Window.
Crawling want to push
by,
any shows before we go?
I'm okay. I'm on next Saturday, 8 p.m. I'm having a Lord of the Rings marathon. It's a journey, sweet.
I know.
It's a journey, one you'll take with me one day when you come visit me and I tie you down and make you watch 16 hours of Lord of the Rings.
I've watched it.
Well, I'm going to make you like it.
Doubt it.
I'm gonna get the pendulum out and I'm gonna start my brainwashing antics.
If you could change the end of the first
you
movie, I might
like
enjoy it.
This movie. You will like this movie. Peter Jackson is a god. Peter Jackson is a god. Repeat after
I'm
me.
Gonna...
Gollum is really interesting. I can just see it now.
You know what I'm gonna do, AP? I'm just gonna put, you know, the Tom Bombadil song on repeat for I don't know hours and hours and hours.
Oh, really? Can we do the Ed Sheeran one instead? Oh, misty eye of the mountain blue.
Where are you
from? My brother's arms. That one. You should go there.
The Tom Bombadil one is so much more annoying, though, but pleasantly so. I'm told it's really annoying when I start breaking out in song and people are looking at me like, what the hell are you doing?
Yep.
Is it
hard to keep with Ed Sheeran, so, you know.
All right, I don't want to get you guys too off topic. Thank you so much.
We're
I just want to say hi.
Okay.
Bye. 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 I'll try not to break a leg. I'm going to get my poem to you on time.
No.
Yeah, I'm going to get mom and me on time this week, I'm telling you. All right.
Awesome.
Bye.
Okay.
Go have
Bye.
Fun.
Have fun, Sky.
Okay.
Well, that was a funny balloon.
Yeah.
Did you say you could get tickets to that event?
To the trampoline she's going on?
Yeah.
No, to be tied down and... Okay.
You have to talk to Sky about that one. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
How many is here?
All right. Here it is. This is
this
line
a,
collaboration number 42.
Number 42. The collaboration with is the meaning of life, the universe, and everything. So let's do it. I like this image, by the way.
How did it go this time, Judd? I can hear your little little ditty on how it went before you read it.
Well, it's going to make sure Deb's with us, actually. Deb, are you there with us?
I'm here. Sorry, I was talking to the damn mute button. Answer to your question, it went kind of well. I think Sweet's going to get a kick out of the fact that it sort of has a little shining spin with the twins in it. But anyhow, you guys did it again with putting things together. Flipping mushroom tea skews the view I see. There we go. Down under, as the twins in chains come out to play, a skirt is a toadstool too high for any modesty here. So beware the ghosts of Wonderland Road, and hope the lion is around to warn you to stay well clear. Alice One, with Aussie puns, writes these words for you. But look, good luck getting through, as I have all the signs from the road. Then Alice Two, with bows of blue, starts having too much fun, and the cards are stacked onto the frame that suggests a load. Skipping in tandem, they kill at random in search of things to drink. My dog is on chain or otherwise would bite my leg. Armed with frozen flamingos bound by metal chains and locks, the storm keeps on crawling. It's from Kansas and doesn't beg. Strolling down the yellow bricks by all the smashed traffic signs to show I've a flamingo in chains caught when happening by. Her eyes turn dark green from periwinkle blue, then twin voices too calm whisper, do we know you? Are you playing that ace of spades? Or are my ruby slippers high? And I did put in a disclaimer, hey kids, stay in school.
Oh my God.
Well, I just now got that in front of me. Shit.
I did too.
Just now.
Just now.
I put it there.
Okay.
Well, I thought it was pretty good, if I may. May I say something? I thought it was really great. I thought you, I liked the incorporation of the Wizard of Oz and Alice in Wonderland and all of the Wonderland bits in there as well. I thought that... strolling down the yellow bricks by all the smashed traffic signs to show I've a flamingo in chains caught when happening by. I thought the rhyme was excellent throughout. And I liked the last verse, too. I love the combination of the two stories. And her eyes turn dark green from periwinkle blue, then twin voices, two calm whispers, do we know you? Are you playing that ace of spades, or are my ruby slippers high? Like, it just was, I love the stay in school, hey kids, stay in school. I thought this was really, really creative and fun.
And that really was Periwinkle put in there by Hatter, not me.
Oh, yeah?
Yep, that was Hatter. Yep, that was Hatter.
Wow.
But it was me playing the Ace of Spades and the Ruby Slippers being high. That was actually me.
Oh, for goodness sake. See, you know, I'm just looking at this and I'm thinking that you wrote this, Deb, and it is the collaboration of the two fellas. Well,
yep, well, the unfinished line is an and, a then, an as, and the title.
Well, just putting the lines together like that to have it come out this way, brilliant, all of you. Excellent.
But we're talking them, zoning in on enough stuff to make it cohesive. I know I say this all the time, but and then AP's doing end rhyme and Hatter's doing inner rhyme, and it's just like flowing. And I mean, they rarely score lower than a 6. This is a 6.3.
Mm. It's different. Sweet. What did you think? What was your favorite?
Oh my. There's nothing here I did not enjoy. A skirt is a toadstool too high for any modesty here.
Yes.
There's no my. Yes, absolutely. I love Alice Swan with the Aussie puns. Of course. Got to have a smart ass in there somewhere. And then, of course, Alice, too, with the bows in blue, starts having too much fun. Because not only one is a smart ass, but the other one's kind of naughty, but we gotta love that. And the bows skipping in tandem, they kill at random in search of things to drink. My dog is on a chain or otherwise would bite my leg. I love that line. And strolling down the yellow bricks by all smashed traffic signs to show I've a flamingo in chains caught when happening by. So one's got a dog on a chain, the other's got a flamingo they caught with chain. I don't know what's going on with these girls, but I want to hang out with them. They sound like my kind of chicks. But, yeah, I thought it was wonderful. And I love the last two lines. Are you playing with that ace of spades, or are my ruby slippers high? Yeah, this is just fabulous and fun, and I just totally dig it. I thought it was great. You've got drinking, killing, token, you know, crazy chicks and, you know, Wonderland and Alice and just fabulous. I thought you guys did a great job. And I am surprised that that line is not from you, Deb, too. Between the dark green and periwinkle blue. I'm really surprised. So go, Hatter. A salute to thy sister.
Roughly done, Hatter.
Yeah, the right number of syllables.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, I thought it was a really good image, Deb. I've had no problems actually working the lines with this. And I think it was kind of fun because it was there was enough bits of Alice and there was enough bits of, you know, the Yellow Brick Road for it to strike a chord with both of us because as you know, I love the Wizard of Oz and was in the Wizard of Oz as a younger person in the stage show. So I'm really fond of the whole thing. Anyways, how did you go, Hatter? Did you find this one easy to write to?
Find it funny what?
Did you find it easy to write to that image prompt this time?
Yeah, it wasn't as hard as it wasn't as bad as others.
Okay.
I sometimes I'm looking at the picture and I'm writing lines down and I'm going, good luck, Deb. Jeez, I'm way out in left field.
You almost always say good luck, Deb, and he's always turning it up to produce poems. I mean, like I said, you toned it on enough to make it, and I thought it was really cool that you made it Alice 1 and Alice 2, so I turned around and I went with the Shining idea and went to make it spooky.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then AP had the details with the toadstool skirt and the slippers being high. So you guys always set the tone, so it just works. You say good luck, but so far so good, 42 later.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sometimes it's, oh, good luck, Dad. And other times it's, good luck, Dad.
No, there was definitely material here, Hatter. There was material here from both of us, and I think Deb used it very well, but there was definitely material here. So I think it was, I think Deb did very well, to be honest. But as long
as you guys continue to tell me what you hear, see, smell, taste, whatever, rather than trying to, don't try to come up with something, Hatter. Don't try to make it make any sense. Just whatever your first impression is, go with it, because it seems to work for both of you.
I just noticed my charger's not charging. I got 2%, so if I bleak off, it's because my
Okay. Okay. But you can come back. You've still got your piece to do.
Yeah.
So recharge and head back. I actually thought that there were some really, really good lines from both of us in this, Deb, and I think it's the first impressions that I go with, even if they don't make sense. But it's the first impressions I go with. So
yeah, they work. Sometimes I think Hatter tries to overthink it, or tries to think what, you know, you might do. Just go with your gut, because
this prompt,
40-some weeks.
This prompt had a natural theme in it from the start. So
yes, it did.
That was probably it did.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, Hatter. It did have a natural theme. But I think it was a theme that was well suited to both of us, to be honest. I think it was, it was a well-chosen image, Deb.
Thanks.
Yeah, good job, Deb.
No, most well done. So, So, Hatter, if you're about to disappear for a little bit, because it sounds like 2% of charge does about 4 minutes.
Somebody's typing.
Not much more.
Did you want mine put
in
there?
If it was me, you wouldn't be me anyway, because I've got the iPad and you can't hear it.
Okay.
Anyway, there you go. So it wasn't me. I promise it wasn't me. Now, I might, around about this time, I normally go and grab a Gerald poem, because it sort of makes sense about this time. So I am going to go and grab a Gerald poem. That is... And a tempestuous wife, which is really interesting, because I'm not sure how it deals with volcanoes. Now, Hatter, you put your palm up on the board. Did you want to do that or did you want to do that when you've got more charge?
The charger's not working, so he might not be able to call back. Maybe he should do it now.
Oh. Maybe you should do it now then, Hatter.
Oh, okay. All right.
Maybe. If you've only got 2% charge and you know where the charger is, you better do it now.
Okay. I got it. Volcanoes are not bears. Can you hear me okay?
Can hear you okay? Are you happy to read?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Cool. It's in your hands.
Okay. The end of the story starts with its demise, the horror of the burning that came from the skies, huddled in corners and silent screams, mud-hardened caskets fill the streams. and most of glance to declare thy love, darkness saturated from all from above. Nothing brought but a moment in thought, Aquarius washed away. The crystal ships beat on the horizon with the mysteries of a place called Bombay. Will the gods rise to watch our demise from the top of Mount Sons of a Bitch? Let them rain down the songs and the sounds, because we really don't give a shit. So take a moment and read my lips. No one's searching in crystal ships. No poet's writing in magic tales. No one's wishing wells. The battles that were never fought, explained in the name that drove you insane. This place called Paraquat.
Intriguing.
Yeah.
Intriguing. Sweet. What did you think of volcanoes or drop bears?
Well, the drop bears scare the crap out of me, just so everybody knows. I don't believe in them.
That's okay, we're going there. Yeah,
I just can't.
Yeah.
Drop bears, not for me, just so everybody knows.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, Hatter always just has perfect rhyme. But in most a glance to declare my love, dark is saturated from all above. I want that. But I don't know how that has to do with drop bears, because this is very much, you know, drop bears are scary, and I'm not so sure this was scary, but...
It's just read volcanoes. It was just fun that way, I'm sorry.
Hmm.
You know.
Hmm. No, I can see that.
You know, so kind of, but I love pretty much everything, but... So take a moment and read my lips. No one's searching in crystal ships. I don't know. I don't know, Hatter, if I could take a moment and read your lips. I might have gone looking through crystal ships just to see that, because I would want to hear no one's writing a magic tale, no one's wishing in wishing wells. Oh, I don't know about that. Because you are a wish, and, you know, you're a poet that writes magic tales. So, I don't know. But I do love this. I love all of the kind of darkness in here with all of that, and, you know, and the mysteries of Pompeii. And you kind of go through all of this with this darkness and, you know, explain in a name that will drive you insane. But, yeah, I really like this because it's kind of dark for you, but I think you give a shit. Just saying.
Thank you.
Great comment. Sweet. Lady A, did you want to say a few words about volcanoes and drop bears?
Well, for some, I just want to make a little comment to Sweet Pea with regard to being scary. I don't understand why you would be scared of this when you write such scary stuff yourself. So, explique-moi ça, as they say en français.
Fine.
I loved it. I thought it was a great poem. I love your stuff. I love it, whether it's dark or light or happy or sad, because you have such a distinctive style that I enjoy thoroughly. So, I thought this was great.
Thank you, Lady.
Well done,
I'm gonna test that out one time. And do a tic tac mo.
Okay.
Hatter matter.
So Hatter, have you got like 1% charge now, and or where are you up to?
6%.
Hey.
That's what you're asking.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I'm glad I asked. Right. Well, if that's the case, I'm going to give Jared a burst for a minute, and I'm going to do my drop bear poem, Hatter, because it fits.
Okay.
We do the drop bear poem together, if that makes sense. So drop bears, of course, for those who are unaware, drop bears are koalas, Now, you might say...
Koalas.
But koalas are, you know, critters that, you know, are very friendly. And they don't have claws. Well, they do have claws. Koalas do have claws. But they have tiny little teeth for crunching up eucalyptus leaves, except when they're drop bears and they have huge freaking teeth, like the image there that Deb put up. And it's really just to scare tourists, to be honest. Koalas don't have nasty teeth like that. But they can look really mean. And if you open up my poem of bears, you will see a thoroughly soaked koala bear that doesn't look very happy. This is Bog Bears. And it goes a little bit like this. The campsite was empty except for us two, and the sun sank down fast, leaving darkness before dew. While there was a rustle, and then suddenly this huge boom, which scared the living hell of us, well, another huge guttural roar, bud curdling in its force. We knew there was a predator, but in the dark of what course? It seemed behind us the next one ahead. As echoed around the valley, we packed up our spread. We got out our torches, past narrow cigar fines, and we ran out of the bush, could hear scurrying behind. Raced harder still and down back to our car, turned on the engine and drove to a town far. There a 24-hour hotel, and so we asked what was there. His answer was simple. We all were traced by a drop bear, which made us feel pretty stupid because koalas leave crave. Or maybe us. No. The faces can only grave. End poem.
Because koalas leave. Koalas bear looks like he's been fire retardant dropped on it or something, some gel.
He looks angry.
Lydia, what,
he doesn't look happy.
Yeah. What, Lydia, what's that? He doesn't look happy.
That's a scary ass thing.
He doesn't look
happy.
He looks scary. He's a scary looking bear, just me. But, I mean, you know.
Lydia, what'd you think?
Well, this is a whole new thing. I've never, ever, ever heard of this, and so it's. I was intent on listening to the story. I thought, AP, you do a great job in writing, and I just am amazed at this folklore. It's really interesting, and yeah. Well, that kind of blew me out of the water, because it ruined my whole entire opinion of koala bears, who are supposed to be, for all intents and purposes, to me, are the sweetest little animals in the world, almost.
They are.
So just sent a little soul.
And they go boom. They are sweet. Yes. Unbelievably.
Oh.
For an animal in Australia, they are sweet and kind, and they don't go and try and kill you.
So, you did a great job on the poem and everything, but you've kind of besmirched the reputation of the koala.
Good word. Yeah, good word. I'm happy to have done that. Thank you very much.
Yes, but well, sweet pea, what do you think?
Well, I think they're like vampires. They're all, come to me, draw to me. You know, they're all this sweet and charming, and they have the pretty eyes, and boo, come to me. And then, bam, there they are. They're at you, and they're ready just to, I'm going to kill them. That's what they're like.
That'd be like a shapeshifter.
Yep.
You know, everybody falls for
them.
Every time
I turn on the
light,
it turns into a bear.
Right. Like, they're right there, loud and rah. That's kind of what I feel.
Mm-hmm.
But your poem is lovely.
Yep, exactly what drop bears are all about. Exactly right.
But I still love them. I love koala bears. I think they're beautiful. But,
like
any bear.
Yeah, I what they sound like recently.
They're bears.
Recently,
you have to be careful.
Poor
koala.
Anyways. Yeah, they are. Although, more like a wombat than anything else. It happens.
But they really look, they're just so entirely adorable.
Yes. I thought I found an evil one, though, Lady O. I thought that one sort of looks as if it's not very happy about the world, at the very least.
So are they really lovely little creatures?
Yes. They just lay
just like cackling
noises. And go boom a lot. They sound as if they're going to tear you limb from limb, bloody oath, but they don't.
Oh, really?
Just little friendly critters.
Like, those are the kind
unless
of things
mating season.
You'd like to have it take home with
yeah,
you
well,
for
that's
a pet.
They're hard work, lady, eh? Because they only eat certain trees. So, you know, a koala is a carbon thing against the law because everything is against the law. Yeah. You'd need to be out there getting a whole heap of eucalyptus leaves pretty regularly. So they eat a lot of eucalyptus leaves and sleep.
Well, they're high maintenance.
Well, you know.
What about?
But, I mean,
I shouldn't get that, but I was just going to see, like, what about the fires and how did they have they been able to get back into their natural habitat?
Well, they have, Lady A. The trouble is, of course, that we lost probably about 30% of the koala population in that one fire or set of fires. So. It's going to take a fair few years to get the population back up again. That's all.
Wow.
AP, in that second stanza, you talk about the huge boom, and I did read that that's the sound they make during mating season. Have you heard it?
Yes.
Does it really sound like like a boom?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, and yes. It is loud and echoes and their boom is in proportion to their size. So if they are bigger, they have a deeper boom.
Oh,
that
cool.
Makes any sense.
It's like a singing quartet, and the bass player is the smallest guy.
That's really cool, though.
Yeah.
You know, if you hear a really loud one, it's a King Kong-sized koala. Just saying.
That's right. Right.
King Kong koala.
Deep boom, then that is big koala. The deeper the boom, the bigger the koala.
Oh, wow.
And to save their cute little rep, I also read that the thing with the... like there are a lot of people that got hit by the quote drop bear, but it was just if you imagine something with claws coming at you from a tree, just the force of the fall would be enough for when it tried to land on you, not to hurt you, just to hold on, or maybe you smelled kind of good and it was mating season and then they scratched the shit out of you, but it's not because they were attacking you. It's because the claws are there. They can't get them. Not when they're falling. So it's more like they're falling and then it's a defense mechanism to try to cling onto something, and if your skin's there, your skin's getting shredded. But they're not going to then possibly eat you.
Let's see if we can hear some koala sounds. Yeah? Here we go. Deep belly.
Wow.
Here
we
go.
That's hilarious.
Oh, my gosh. That sounds like an exorcist bear. I'm not touching that one.
Oh, it sounds like a bullfrog on crack.
It brings of a tiger in it, you know. I mean, and one more.
Yeah, there's more luminous booms I've heard.
Who's killing the kitty?
Wow.
Yeah. So they're both koalas.
Wow.
It's one. They're very, very different sounds. And
so I guess
and,
that last
because,
one was,
you know, they it's sort of almost
kind of small.
The last one.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think that was a small one.
Yeah.
That was wicked.
So, but very loud and very believable that they could be very nasty, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does that happen a lot, though, AP, that they would somebody would be harmed by the gentle souls that
no.
they are?
No, nobody would be harmed by them. It's just they sound so bloody awful.
Yeah.
If you have three or four of them going at the one time and they're coming at you from different angles, it does sound as if, you know, seriously there could be a set of really nasty, you know, ferocious beasts coming after you, but it's just that they're koalas, you know.
Yeah. They're marsupials, aren't they? They're marsupials, right?
Yes, they are. Yeah,
yeah.
Marsupials. Yeah. 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 So, there you go. Koalas. Strange, weird, wonderful critters. They won't do any harm, but they just sound bloody awful. So,
yeah.
Particularly if you're sitting there,
I didn't realize
in the middle of nowhere.
I didn't realize what a low croak it was, a low rumble.
Yeah.
I heard.
Yeah, it's different. And if you're out in the middle of the tent and you don't know the country and you start hearing some of those mixed up, you do get the sense that, you know, it might be nasty, you know.
It be. Can I tell a quick story?
Please.
When I lived up in the up with the rich people on the Pilot Lake, I had considered myself going up on a farm, being in the mountains for quite a part of my life. There wasn't a sound that could have been made that I would have questioned. That I didn't know what it was, right?
Yeah.
My The caretaker of the widow, of the lady that owned the big house, woke me up on the walkie-talkies one night and said, "Get up here, I heard something." So I walked up there, and she's trying to explain to me a sound that was in this huge pine tree just off the pool that scared her so bad she had to go inside. Now, when she goes out on the deck, she's on the third-story deck, so there's nothing that can be surprise her. But she said it was such a sound that it frightened her so much that she had to go inside. So I waited. I didn't hear it. So I said, well, I'll pay attention. Why, in the next two nights, she's going to be off. So that's what I thought.
Yep.
I told her that I would listen. Well, the very next night, I heard this thing, and I opened my door, and it was out in the pine tree right off my deck where my place, my room was. It was it sounded like it was an ape in a hurt or being threatened, and it was up in pine tree, and it was very mammal like, very animalistic. I'll tell you what, it ran freaking chills at my spine. Okay. So I go back in, and I said, well, I'm going to get my flashlight. I'm going to find out. Well, I go out, and I couldn't hear it again. Now, this thing was not 20 feet over my head. I didn't have a flashlight with me, so I couldn't put it on. And I tell you what, I'm looking for an animal, okay? I can't think of anything, and I swear to God, I've never heard this sound before, so I can't wait for it was actually Joy. When Joy gets back, I tell her, I heard the sound. She goes, what is it? I go, I have no idea. So we were calling it the demon from the lake, you know, and all this. And then one night, just a couple nights later, we hear it. And it's down by the dock of the neighbor's house, the big house that I took care of.
Yep.
So I get my samurai sword, and I've got my pellet gun, and I've got I got a spear gun, and I'm and some flashlights, and I'm going to go out. Find out what this is. Okay. Well, as I'm walking down along the patio to go across the property line, which is nothing but azalea bushes, once I get in, I said, okay, of course, there's no moonlight. I don't have any of the lights on in the back of the house that I'm going to. I'm walking across the patio. I can hear Joyce say, I'm not coming to get you, so don't yell for any help. You're just going to, thanks, Joy. I start walking down this path in the middle of total blackness, because like I said, there is no moon and there's light. So I hear this thing go off, and it's down by the gazebo. So I figure out which tree it's in. So I'm inching my way down for the next 15, 20 minutes. I'm going just an inch a step, trying to locate where this thing is. Because at this time, I do not know what this thing is. It sounds large. It sounds big. It sounds hurt.
Yep.
Or it's over. That's the way, and I swear to God. So,
was Bigfoot.
I hear it when I'm top of the walkway. It doesn't make another sound until I'm down underneath it. And when it went off, I felt like it was behind me and up. So I felt very vulnerable. So I'm thinking, I've got the sword with me. And I go, well, screw this. I throw the sword into the grass. I pulled my CO2 pellet gun, that rapid fire. Anyway, I was so freaked out by the thing crawling, and it was so loud. The decibels were so loud that all I wanted was back into my room. So I come tearing out of the darkness, doing a Barney Rebel at night when Joy's out there watching me. I'm totally freaked out at this time. So I got to go out there and tell her, I don't know what the hell that was, but I've never heard it before. So now I'm going to the books the next day, a couple days, going, what the hell could that be? I even asked a couple neighbors, what the hell is that? Oh, we didn't hear anything.
Yep.
I go, oh, man, this is nightmare. Just make the long story shorter, it was one of those cormorants, ducks, those waterfowl.
They have a weird sound anyway.
But what they would do on those, there was two points. From where I lived, there was another point two houses down by Dr. John, and then there was another point that went up over this big cove, and on that point there were some big redwood trees, and on the top of those trees, those cormorants would flock every night. And you could hear their chatter. You could hear their chatter and stuff. And when it was breeding season, the males got kicked out of the trees. So they ended up in trees on more of the outskirts. And that was like their love song, their sorrow, when a male came to the girls. I swear to God, I heard every noise in the forest. But it haunts me to this day. Yeah, it was one of those cormorants.
That's amazing.
Oh, what damn wood duck? Jerry doesn't believe it. Jerry says there's no way that was a duck. There's no way. What's that?
But it is interesting because the mind sort of goes and fills in the gaps. Yeah. When you hear something that you don't understand or don't know, and that's why drop bears work so well, because the koalas just sound like nothing like you expect them to sound like. You hear that noise and you don't think of koalas. The same thing. You hear that noise, you don't think of cormorants. Yeah,
Is that how they say that?
Cormorants is how I say it.
Cormorants.
But
we have them here too.
Yeah,
but I had never heard one so loud, so hurtful. Sounded like it was wounded.
Yep.
And it was the decibels that blew me away. It was so loud, and it sounded mammal. It was not a bird. Joy to this day doesn't believe it was a bird.
Yeah, wow. Well, there you go. Cormorant.
Anyway.
Interesting. Now, Hatter, we have to think. Hopefully your phone is still charging, but we have to think about next week's show. What the theme is going to be for next week, because it's your turn to choose. Yeah.
I think
And, of course, you can't choose volcanoes and drop bears because we've done that now.
Okay. So I'll have to listen. How about, why don't we go to the dentist?
Oh, really?
Oh, muscles.
You're kidding me. Oh. Are we going to go to the dentist, are we? Really?
Well, if
didn't we already, didn't we already do that?
I don't know.
I don't know. Did we?
I'll think of something else. Hold on.
No, I really think we. I really, really think we did. Actually, I think we did it at one of your appointments. One of your appointments brought us there, I believe, AP.
Okay. Then I. Well, we'll do something else. Okay, Hannah. Thought number two.
How about? It's spring. Love is in the air.
There we go.
Is it good or bad? Tell me about it.
No.
Spring is in the air.
Love is
beware.
In the air.
That's it.
Yeah,
beware.
Love is in the air.
Beware.
Love
beware.
Is in the air.
Love is in the air.
Yeah, no. Love is in the air. Reminds me of a song by John Paul Young. Yeah, Love is in the air. It was a song by John Paul Young in Australia. Love is in the air. So that's, anyway. Okay. I am going to do, we've got a couple of SoundCloud poems. Yeah. And
you know what?
It could have been
high in the sky like an old pizza pie. Those are some lyrics.
Katsumari.
That's some.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to play Gerald SoundCloud now, Deb. And I think it might even fit with where we are. So let's see how we go.
Tempestuous Wife, written in red by Gerald Green. Her temper is hot and volcanic, without any notice it blows, especially when she is manic, it then exponentially grows. I never know when to expect it, and talk to her in guarded tones, with calm to avoid another fit that sometimes is stirred by hormones. Like lava, her words do much damage. They burn everything in their path, as if she's turned into a savage, exuding wild anger and wrath. And then, when it's over, she simmers, ignoring the havoc she's wrought. As if there were no lava rivers, she wonders why I am distraught. End poem.
Beautiful, beautiful rhyme, even better rhythm. Lady A, did you want to have the first comment upon Tempestuous Wife?
Well, I thought it was really a very diplomatic way of speaking about the monthly visitor and the pre-monthly visitor. So I thought that was quite interesting. Let me think now. I think he was, I think there was the first time I felt a little unfairness in Gerald's poem, and because, we get blamed for a lot of things because of that monthly visitor, and really men should try to look at it in a little different way, because if we did not have the monthly visitor, we would have no people on the planet, because, in order to have children, you have to have the monthly visitor. So perhaps, Gerald.
Now, of all the terms you've let go on the air on our shows, you went
What's
monthly
that?
Visitor. Okay. Well, all the medical terms and events and procedures that you've uttered on our show, you went monthly visitor.
Well, I just thought that if I said your period, I might get.
That's how we get babies. Period.
I was trying to be diplomatic because men are not very, easily accepted, accepting of the word period. Because what did Gerald call it? It was.
Maybe that's why I'm interrupting. Hey.
His hormone.
I'll raise your hands, guys. All a little uncomfortable. Raise your hands. There you go. In the audience. Look at the hands.
Done well.
Okay, thank you.
Not too bad. Keep going, lady.
Oh, It's a true story, though.
No. I get it. No, thank you for the comment. And, sweet, did you want to talk episodically or periodically about this particular poem?
Mm-hmm.
Hello, sweet.
Well, all I can do is end the sentence. Period. That's what it's all about.
True enough. You could go a semicolon, but it wouldn't have anywhere near as much effect.
I know. I mean, I think Vidya said it all.
Sorry.
So I just...
comma.
I think she said
many things that were
yes.
sensible, logical, reasonable.
So unlike most of us while we're on that time, you know, that certain period, we're not sensible, we're not logical, we do like chocolate.
Yeah.
And that's not mentioned at all. That's not
mentioned
at all.
You know, I have a different view of, maybe we could talk about this some other time. I don't know if we're allowed to talk about it right now, but I think we're...
Well, it does have a lot to do with volcanoes, but not in the way they're talking.
Yeah.
No, well, that's well. Maybe we'll
you know, it gets real. It gets real when you are sent to the store. When you are sent to the store to buy something you've never even basically seen in a store before, and you've got to get the heavy flow in the pink package with the wings.
There you go.
Love that. It's good.
And then, there's a price check. Then they got to do a price check when you're at the counter.
Yeah,
it's a
price check.
Oh, that is so funny. I love it.
That's called paying your dues.
Yeah.
I've never done that to a guy.
I've been on the front line.
I don't think I've ever done that to a male.
Oh.
I used to get them all the time.
Female is definitely the stronger.
I started that, though. Can I tell it?
Female is definitely the stronger of the sex.
Yes,
stronger of the sex.
Okay. Yeah. So we're going to talk about a period, okay? So just to forewarn, I'm not going
to
use
that at the end of the sentence would mean to say, okay, we're done.
No.
Go for it, lady.
Yeah, like,
period.
Are we allowed to tell this story? Because it's a really good story, I have to say.
Yeah, but is it something that you would tell the 13-year-old sitting next to you?
Well, yes, I would say that. It would, you know, it's not...
We're not having the talk, Miss Lady. We're not having the talk either.
Okay. Oh, I'll save it for another night. There's nothing wrong with that, though. Truly, there isn't.
Okay.
We'll have a night. We'll have a night for you, period. One night.
Okay.
Well, we still have these two poems on the board, and I'm thinking that Sweet's writing, and you might even be writing.
Oh, yeah. I have.
So,
I have one.
And we only have 20 minutes left. So,
we should do Stephen's poem then, shouldn't we, Deb? If that's okay.
It's on the board. That's fine. I'll do mine after his.
Okay.
And then we'll see if Sweet's ready.
Okay.
So they're both up there right now.
I think Stephen did a SoundCloud, didn't he, from memory?
Yes. Sure did.
He did. Okay. I'm gonna hit the play button now. Here we go.
Don't Feed the Drop Bears by Stephen 76. The mantis prays while chewing on frontal lobe. The berry-faced woman and the gym-faced man lurk where the colors wash over granules. Skulls sitting under bowl cuts stare with shiny, sunken eyes. Fingernails erode knotty pine walls to splinters. Toothless funeral grins nap in the fiberglass bed. The drop bear's wetted fangs scream for the raw meat of another victim from abroad.
Right.
End poem.
Ha-ha! Ha-ha! Well, that was fun. That's sweet, what do you think, of Stephen and his drop bears?
Oh, my God. The first line, the mantis prays while chewing on the frontal lobe. That's great. Skulls sitting under bowl cuts, which stare, which shiny, sulken eyes. The imagery in this is fabulous. Yeah, that's better... You know, that's what you're afraid of. That's what you should be afraid of. Somebody chewing on your frontal lobe.
Yes.
That's great. That's just great imagery. It's fabulous. I love it, Stephen.
Thank you very much. Sweet. Well done. Now, Lady A, what did you think of Stephen and his bears dropping?
Oh, you're talking to me. I thought it was a bit scary. I was he's very creative in his writing, and I like that. He's always got something a little different spin on things, and always makes it a fun thing. So, yeah, it was a little scary. The old koala. I still feel that the koala bear is really given a bad rap in these poems. So.
No.
Well, Lady A,
you're supposed to.
At the end, you're supposed to say, period.
Period.
Well, doesn't matter. If you go to standards, you have skulls sitting, comma, under bowl cuts, comma, stare with shiny, comma, sunken eyes. You've actually got an example of an Oxford comma there.
Yeah.
You have an end.
You know, certain things can develop life on its own, like its own creature.
So
it is worth thinking about
doing a show on the Oxford comma, by the way, just as a thought. And I know we're doing Lovers in the Air next week, but it's just as a thought worth thinking about the Oxford comma. Now there are some writing going on. Let me go to the board and see if we have anybody posted, because I think, Lady A, you might be writing, and I think, Sweet, you might be writing. Is that correct?
Well,
I'm not writing.
I have a poem. I'm going to get it, but I don't know if I can read it. I'll have to see. I have to confess I did not write for tonight, but I've been in having fun. Oh.
Okay, good. And now, Deb, you have your poem up on the board, and so I'm thinking it would be a good time to get you to read it now.
Okay. I headed back to the board. Okay. Yes. Mine is called Marinated in Lava Chambers.
Mm.
I was downloading Love is in the Air. That's what happened. Okay, here we go. Deep in the magma belly of earth, rusted chains swing on tin ceilings. Inside the skull-covered archway, meat hooks hang on welded rings. Man's torso is pierced with the tip by the gargoyle zombie chauffeur. Blood and guts sizzle on red coal as screams echo in the chamber. Palms shoot persimmon flames to blister flesh and flood the bone piled on mounds in the corners for building the walls and throne. Smoke plumes from the fire pits, footsteps hit stairs with a smack, climbing the stairwell from hell in eggplant leather laced with black. This amethyst mistress of the dead heads out to hunt cities and towns, scouting for the people to charbroil dressed in rose gold spiked crown. If you see her rise from the volcano, Hail Marys cannot cushion the blow. And if you weep, breaking the silence, she peels skin off the skeleton slow. And Paul.
Ha-ha. Dead with great effect, I say too, Deb. Beautiful piece, well written. How did you want to say a few words about Deb's marination?
Yeah, like a hot leper.
Or a devil bitch.
Yeah.
Is that right? Leper? Did you say leper?
Jeez. I'm just going over the words. It's just better. You can tell when Deb is of sorts. Sometimes she's of sorts because the writing gets a little acute. In fact,
I never claimed I wasn't a moody psycho.
Yeah, careful what you say next, Hannah. Be very careful what you say next. Sweet, did you want to say a few words about lava chambers?
Obviously.
Well, it helps if I'm not on mute, yes.
It would.
Well, let's just say this is Wowza. She's as hot as a volcano in here, but yeah, this is good. I love the imagery in this. This is another hot, yeah. I love the last stanza. Well, actually, I love the whole thing. I love every stanza, but... if you see her rise from the volcano, Hail Marys cannot cushion the blow. And if you weep breaking the silence, she peels skin off the skeleton slow. I mean, God, Cranmer can be a sadistic bitch. I love this. God forbid you screw anybody the wrong way, because this is the kind of thing you don't want coming after you. I mean, everything she puts in here is just blister, flesh, fry the bone, guts and blood sizzling.
Yep.
I mean, there's nothing in here I want touching me, from the meat hooks down to the peeling of my skin off my skeleton. It's just like torture upon torture upon torture. I will give you my country secrets. Just don't touch me. Please, Deb, don't touch me. I'll consider not.
Nicely done, sweet. Appreciate it. Well done. Leia, did you want to say a few words about this piece?
Well, it was very dark and very eerie poem. And Deb does dark really, really well. And, you know, when she started talking about maggots and other poems, I knew that she had a tremendous talent to make everybody go, ooh, or gag. So I thought that that was really, really, let me just, you know, and the lava chambers, I just thought this was really good. It was very, very dark. And the man's torso is pierced with the tip. You know, these welded rings and meat hooks, like really, and blood and guts sizzle. They're being barbecued. And I, you know what was really pretty, though, was the palms shoot persimmons flames. That was lovely until you got to the blistered flesh and the fried the bones. This was very, very, very creepy. Really well done. Oh, and then she peels the skin off the skeleton slowly. So, yeah, okay, I might have a nightmare or two tonight. This was really, I think this is probably one of your darkest ones you've done.
You think so?
I think.
AP.
It might be, yeah.
AP.
Yes, Adam.
Can you put something, in the comment line and it's working? I tried to put my cursor in the comment line on that and it won't let me. I've refreshed. Is it just me, or is it the site? Somebody else
have a quick look.
On my poem or on the chat board?
The poem.
We just commented.
On the poem. On the poem.
We just commented on it.
Comment on it. It worked for me, Hannah. So just
see if you can do it again. Somebody comment on there. Just say something.
Yeah.
If you can do it.
Check. One. Two, three. Comment added. There you go. Add them both. Cat up.
Okay, it's just me. I can't get in there. Wow.
It's just
okay.
You.
Thank you.
Yep. Sweet. We have 10 minutes to go of this August show. And
okay. Lady A's going to read a poem.
If you have... She does.
Well,
so,
I'm trying to find mine, so you can put yours up.
Oh, I've got two sentences to write, and then I have a poem for you.
Okay. So two sentences to write. Lady A, do you have the poem there somewhere nearby?
I'm trying to find. I can't say that it's nearby, but I thought I knew the title, and I have so many in here that they're not organized, and I don't have them. I don't know the titles.
No, that's okay.
I'm trying to find it. So
it
if you
it
have
is okay,
else.
Lady A, because I have got one that I can put up.
Okay. Hey, in a reminder, in a reminder, April 17th is National Crawdad Day, Bat Appreciation, Cheeseball Day, and Poetry Day, Haiku Poetry Day.
Oh, God, don't talk about haikus.
Cool.
I've got one here. And this is me writing a Seamus Heaney. I don't know if you know the work of Seamus Heaney, an Irish poet. Quite distinctive and very visual descriptions. And so we were talking about nasty critters before. Copperhead's a form of snake. This is Copperhead's. It goes a little bit like this. His father moved the fresh-cut gums through the saw, his hands as leather, tongue caught around a cigarette, orange ash glittered on the earth. Skillin carving the widest beam from the scraggy bark, water shearing off into a shallow pool at the end of the rusted corrugated shed. This, his domain, the burrs and knots, sparks off the gleaming steel wheel, the odd log jagging back, bruising his left hip. He walked with a distinct limp. He kept a piece of gum, gnarled as thick, in the corner, for indiscretions, and though rarely born, its bite was far worse than the copperheads outside. In poem.
Well, tongue caught around the cigarette. I just squeezed in there. Wow.
I write free verse occasionally.
Let's thank everybody for calling in today. Thank you. Appreciate it.
We should do that, but we have to get Sweet's poem first before we can do that. I think we do. We can't say thank you before we
get Sweet's poem. Hold on a second, though.
Hold on.
I just wanted to say I see that you won a gold for this. Congratulations. And your author notes just blew me away, actually. What a twist. This was really awesome. And now after reading that, I have to go back and reread because I'm seeing, you know, the gum trees and I know what a copperhead is. And then when I saw that, I was like, whoa. And then the third stanza there, this is his domain, the bursts and not the burrs and not sparks of gleaming steel wheel. It's like hard as nails, tough as all get out, and like Tori, or you get bit. Wow, gnarled. Man, oh man, awesome. And like I said, congrats on that gold.
Ah, thank you. Thank you. As I said, I don't write free verse that often, and I don't write like Seamus Heaney that often either, but it is National Poetry Month, so I thought I'd better try.
I was going to say, you were looking rather freer tonight, AP.
Thanks very much, Hannah. Very kind of you to say so.
Meantime,
I note with interest that Sweet has actually posted her poem, so I'm going to go directly to you, Sweet, for the read.
Okay, so I pulled an AP because usually I'll write a poem and he writes one back on me. He pulled that poem out about those red spiders, and so I wrote a poem on his. And it's not exactly what I want, but I'll have to go back and divvy it up. So this is a work in progress. So this is Amelia's Dollhouse. Amelia's dollhouse stood 3 feet tall, styled by an Italian master, attached a matching garage with Rolls Royce and Ferrari cars. Dolls of porcelain with hand-painted eyes stared at Monet miniatures, a house of handcrafted furniture, china dishes, and woven rugs of India. Amelia enjoyed her gifts, played in the land of pretend, green-eyed jealousy exposed not through child's skin. She devil's hands dipped in to destroy Amelia's imaginary friends, crashing and bashing a house of pretending for self-loathing. Cursed by a volcano gods, the piano sat inside the music room, waiting to play an evil tune when fingers played the ivories. As she reached in to crush the box, a stampede of poisonous hot red spiders crawled into her skin, and she died as their new altar. End poem.
Oh, man.
Wow. Very nice.
The dollhouse in there, didn't you?
Of course.
Yeah.
I don't like dolls.
Wow. I love dolls. That was very dark.
I'm not sleeping tonight.
Dolls of porcelain with hand-painted eyes stared at Monet miniatures, a house of handcrafted furniture, China dishes, and woven rugs of India. Sounds like a beautiful dollhouse.
How about winking at me?
Yeah, she-devils. All right.
The odd
she-devils.
That if the rug was a drop bear rug, then we would have summarized things beautifully.
Ah.
Okay.
Could do that. But I'm not going to kill a koala for a rug.
Oh, dear.
Can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Can't do that.
We're down under 2 minutes before we go overtime, KP.
Yeah,
okay, so you want me to sing your song? AP, you want to sing the Kookaburra song with me?
Well, which song?
The Kookaburra song.
Ooh.
Kookaburra.
I don't know. Which one's that?
Tree.
Oh! We'll practice it for next time, Radio. We'll do a practice.
Can I comment on Sweet?
Next time. Yes, you can, Deb. You can. You're allowed to comment on Sweet.
Yes. I was wondering if the second couplet was specifically to make sure that Lady A didn't sleep tonight with the doll of porcelain with hand-painted eyes stared at Monet miniatures. I was like, oh, yeah, let's just make sure she doesn't sleep. And if she does, she has a little bit of a nightmare there. This was creepy good, Sweet. And that sadistic laugh that just came with my question answered it for me. Thanks, Doc.
There you go. Now, Hannah, we need to say goodbye to people before we come to the lovers in the air. So, I mean, you're...
I'm sorry. Yeah, love is in the air. Sort of sarcastically, I said that, you know, what does springtime do to normal people? The hormones. Love in the air. What makes you sneeze? What tickles you?
Looks for me. Sorry. I was going to say, thank you to Deb, and thank you to Sweet, and thank you to AK, and thank you to Sky for dropping on past early. I know things were tough. Thank you to Jeff. Thank you to Stephen for putting in pieces. And we've probably got to the end of things, Hannah, in a quite unusual but typical sort of episode of one of our
events. Wrapped it up nicely. You wrapped it up nicely. On time.
Okay, well, let's wrap it up with it. Yeah, I put this song on there to tease for next week.
Ha! Well, let's finish with that then.
So
Where is that? Is it? Can you hit that?
It's all the way at the bottom because it just loaded. It's all the way at the bottom. And I just want to say great show, guys. Love and respect everyone. And if you don't see it, just tell me and I'll push play.
I don't see it, so you may have to.
Okay. Here we go. Love and respect.
Thank you, everybody. See you next week.
Thank you.
This is the play.
Bye.
A little bit of
love is in the air. Everywhere I look around. Love is in the air.
Love is in the
every
air.
Every sight and every sound. And I don't know if I'm being foolish, don't know if I'm being wise, but it's something that I'm. heaven, and it's there when I look in your eyes. Love is in the air, in the whisper of the trees. Love is in the air, in the thunder of the sea. And I don't know if I'm just dreaming, don't know if I feel safe, but it's something that I must believe in. And it's there when you call out my name.
Here we go. That's what's happening next week. Love is in the air, as John Paul Young correctly put it. Up until then, have a great week. We'll see you for love. And after that, have fun, everybody. Talk soon. Bye.
Hey. Love.
Good night. Good night.